huge buzz around the Duck program. He's entering year three as the head coach. And as he's getting pulled in about a billion directions today, I'll remind him he's on Sports Talk in Eugene with Steve Tannen and Matt Prehm. We welcome in Mark Helfrich. Coach Helf, thanks for the time. How's it going?
It is going great, and an absolute pleasure to be with you, Matt Prehm. Not so much.
Oh, that hurts.
Nice setup, Spike. Let's hit rewind. So when you were leaving Marshfield in the early 90s, you know, Oregon, the reason I bring this up is because Oregon football was kind of regional. Recruiting took place maybe like at Alabama and USC. When you reflect back to then and now, what Duck football has grown into, letter of intent days like a holiday, either of these or both just amaze you at what they've become here in 2016?
It is. It's amazing. It's a little odd, but really also really cool, you know, that we can go into a school in Maryland and have everybody excited about not only Oregon football, but the university, you know, in general, the region, all the things that we have going on. And that part of it's very cool. But it's odd that you have, you know, multiple guys with Alabama offers and multiple guys with SC offers and multiple guys in a class. And that's Gary Campbell and I were talking about that today. It's amazing.
Coach, when you start, Let's look at this 2016 class. At what point do you guys start maybe projecting, okay, we need to sign 19 guys for this class, or we want 10 guys on offense, 9 guys on defense? How's the timeline of figuring out and how do you get there the amount of guys that you need and on what side of the ball, the projection side of that? When does that start for you guys?
Well, yeah, you have to think 4 years from now, you know, and you try to get the ideal thing is getting guys for spring ball. You know, how many guys are you going to have in spring ball to be able to compete and really be ready to rock in fall? Now, the great thing about our setup being on the quarter system, a lot of our young guys, they're here all summer. They're here almost an extra month, you know, compared to a lot of teams that are maybe a semester school. And so we kind of consider that a closet advantage. But there's always movement, right? Whether it's a guy develops, you know, you bring in a 225-pound guy that turns into a 265-pound guy, or a 225 guy that moves to defense, or you know, all the things that go into that. But we have ideal numbers at every position, and you know, go from there.
You know, I want to deviate quickly from recruiting because obviously, like a lot of people, I closely watch the national search for your new defensive coordinator. And in a rarity, I thought Brady Hoke sounded like a really solid name. Lo and behold, he ends up your guy. What about the process that led to his hiring and what jumped off the page to you where you offered Coach Hoke the job?
Well, I think, you know, I had the good fortune of knowing Brady for a long time, and as have several other guys on our staff, and knowing just he's just kind of a dude, you know, he's just kind of a good dude that loves being around young guys. I think he was very hungry to get back into college football. I think he's very eager to quote unquote just be a coordinator, and I say that, you know, definitely in jest, but to not deal with some of the other stuff But he did a great job in closing out recruiting and at the same time really, really changing the trajectory of the defense, getting meeting with as many guys as possible and getting to know the guys that we have currently to make some of those projections that Matt was alluding to.
Looking on the offensive side of the ball and the guy that you said was 800 yards away and Justin Herbert, that's always got to be – it's for fans, it's something very exciting for them because one of their own is basically playing for the team they go and watch. For your guys' side, how difficult was it in evaluating him because of A, the level of competition here, and then B, the injury that he had as a junior basically almost made him an unknown going into his senior year?
I think there's no question if he as a junior plays a full season, that guy's, you know, however many star national recruit, because he committed when he did, and we kind of, you know, having known the Johnson family for my entire life and knowing a lot of things in and out around that program. We certainly trust what's going on there and kind of projecting him, which isn't hard, right? I mean, the guy's right. a phenomenal athlete in every sport, and he's going to do something great. And we certainly think that's a quarterback to begin with, and we'll go from there. But, yeah, one of those recruiting stories of a guy that commits for a long time and stays put.
Talking with Mark Helfrich, and, you know, at the FBS level, you've been a position coach, quarterbacks, offensive coordinator, and obviously your current position. So as you've climbed the ladder, how much different has your role been in recruiting? Or is it always kind of that massive group effort to just try and get the best players through your program?
It definitely has changed. I think recruiting itself has changed, whether it's the availability of film, you know, via whatever means on the internet, and that has transformed, you know, getting instant access to everybody's film is something that has changed a lot. Social media obviously has played a role and is consistent or, you know, just changing all the time. And so those are things you always have to kind of keep up with. But the nuts and bolts of having a plan for a kid and caring about a kid and really believing in you know, your people, your culture, your system, and making those things fit, I don't think that ever changes.
Dylan Mitchell is a guy that you talked about. Florida State offered him for football and, you know, the Duke offer for basketball. But Alabama was another school that seemed to always be at his school, it seemed like, to try and get him to flip. How important was that? Is he to this class? Or, you know, just to keep him, some being that he's so far away, and like you right. said, some of the guys that have flipped, you know, they went to blue blood programs that are 500 miles away from school where they can get there in a day, and he chose to honor his commitment. How big of a deal was that to keep him while Alabama and Florida State are just every week trying to get him to flip?
It was huge. And, I think it says a lot about him. It says a lot about his high school coach, Coach Riccone, Matt Lubick, doing a great job in recruiting him kind of start to finish of Dylan had an instant affinity for our program. He's an electric dude. There's not too many guys that have been, you know, kind of that double of Alabama and Duke and maybe Oregon basketball, too. He's a pretty electric guy.
Coach, one of the themes around here is this isn't Western PA, Ohio, California, or the Deep South. And you always hear, you know, they're somewhat limited, and you got to keep the best players in state. You've got four high school guys from Oregon, Hotchkins, the JUCO guy. How satisfied are you that you kind of secured the borders and got those guys to go to Oregon?
No, it was a huge year for the state of Oregon, and you know, as you said, four high school kids and one junior college that are just high quality individuals and really good football players. These next couple years in Oregon look to be much the same, just in terms of the there's a little bit more talent than normal, and so that's exciting. And again, we want the right guys to pick us for sure.
Are you a little concerned at all about how guys are committing? I mean, we see guys skydiving to make their announcements, paintballing. It seems like the shark has been jumped twice here a little bit with how crazy the commitments have been made. And does that maybe turn you off at all if you want to get involved in a guy that wants to have that kind of a me moment? I mean, I know it's a big deal for them for this day. It's a special time, but it's kind of getting out of control.
No question, and I think there's coaches and programs that are responsible for part of that. I think the media, you know, is responsible for part of that.
Sorry.
Yeah, right. But, you know, everybody's making a living, right? I mean, of whether it's a recruiting service or the media, all those things going on. You know, again, just lost in that is what's truly best for this guy in the long term. And when these guys are told a million different things in the final, whatever, 72 to 96 hours of recruiting, after 2 years of leading up to a decision or something like that, it's kind of scary. But then also, I think, you know, as I said earlier, I think you end up with the right guys.
Coach, when you and your staff kind of narrow the field and really start to zoom in on a prospect and think, man, he'd be a great fit at Oregon, do you have like a personal closing preference? Do you maybe watch more film, talk more with his coaches and teachers, or is it a matter of, kind of a case-by-case situation and whatever you can do to get them here.
Definitely a case-by-case situation. You're trying to figure out, you know, what's his key? You know, is it seeing himself being successful in your scheme, you know, in your school, in your community? Is it getting to his aunt who's, whatever that kind of, there's the thing that gets the student-athlete going, then the person that kind of has the con in terms of the direct line of communication to those guys. And then it just depends. You know, sometimes you're joking around and laughing. Sometimes you're, you know, having a more serious talk about life. And it just depends on the individual.
We live in a world now where I think specialization is becoming pretty common, where guys are playing one sport and that's it. How many guys of your class played more than one sport? And how important is it in your mind that your guys do play other sports and get an opportunity to just not do football? At the high school level.
I would have to go back and look at that. I don't know that off the top of my head, but in general, I love multi-sport guys. I think specialization is not good. I think it's not real. You know, certainly in terms of football, you're not an individual entity. You're a part of a team, and you got to communicate with people and have success with people, have failure with people, compete in a bunch of different ways. And I just think that's dangerous when every high school kid is going to the trainer, you know, for the winter, and then to his specialist coach in the spring, and not, you know, even if you're playing basketball and not starting or do, you know, but just competing at your high school and leading and failing and all those things, that's good. Being kind of in your own envelope for the rest of your life, that's not healthy.
All right, Coach, I get a sense you're out there driving around in the rain because I hear your windshield wipers, and I don't want any Duck fans to make it think like we're putting you in any danger. So we're going to let you go now.
I'm stopped. I've got the hands-free working. Yeah.
All right, so on behalf of Steve, the host, Tannen, and Matt, not so much Preem, we know you're getting pulled in a billion directions today, but it's always great catching up. Be safe out there, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for everything you do. Thanks.
All right, take it easy.